Hello, dear friends and family members of Waynesboro Bible Church. This is Pastor Darrell. This is our Sunday morning message for March the 29th. Maybe you're listening to it before then or after then, but regardless of when you're listening, we'd like to welcome you to this opportunity to worship together and listen to God's Word. We pray that God's blessing will be upon each of you, and God will keep you well. And just happy and singing in the Lord, and that God will be your strength and your source of refuge. So here we are, and today I'd like to talk to you on the subject of the thoughts. What are you thinking about? What is on your mind? I can guess what's on most of our minds most of the time during these troubled days in our country and in the world. We're thinking about one thing. We're thinking about the coronavirus, what's going on with that. But we need to be thinking on things of God. We need to, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 tells us how to guide our thoughts. And that's the subject, that's the title of the message today is Guide Your Thoughts. I'm in Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to be reading in just a couple of moments, verses 4 through 9. I'd like to invite you to grab your Bible if it's handy and open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We'll read those verses together. If you don't have your Bible nearby, you can listen and then look at those verses in your Bible later. But Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, you remember that the theme of the book of Philippians is joy and rejoicing. Paul is reminding the Philippian believers that it doesn't matter what circumstances you're going through, life can be filled with joy and praise. And we can realize this is true when we turn our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We allow Him to be the center of our life, the Holy Spirit to be in control of our thoughts and our actions, and that God would be glorified when we do that. Again, we're in Philippians chapter 4, and I'm reading verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Before we get into the message today, I'd just like to take time once again to pray with you. And I know that you've probably been doing a lot of praying there in your home, maybe in your prayer closet or in your quiet time. And throughout the day, as you think of different people and different things, you've been lifting those things up before the Lord. And that's good. And I encourage you to continue to do that. I was reading a devotion by Dr. David Jeremiah the other day. The title of the devotion was Don't Forget to Pray. Told the story of George Mueller and said because of his faithful work with orphans, George Mueller is considered a hero in the faith. But his ministry nearly ended before it began because he forgot to pray about something. Mueller had prayed for all aspects of his envisioned orphan house. He prayed about the land, building, supplies, provisions. There was, however, one point he never had prayed about, namely that the Lord would send children. For he naturally took it for granted that there would be plenty of applications. But Mueller went back to his knees, and the next day, the first application for the orphanage arrived. God's provisions come in response to our prayers. God's provisions come in response to our prayers. Mueller said, in learning to lean upon the living God alone, we are beyond disappointment and beyond being forsaken. How precious to know that surely no good thing shall be withheld from us while we walk uprightly. God will meet your needs. Trust Him today. So, dear friends, let's take a few minutes to pray together. Father, today I pray that your hand would be upon each of us, that you would bless us, that you would guide us, that you would fill our heart with joy, that you would cause us to think on you and the things of righteousness and holiness, the things that are good, the things that are of good report, the things that are worthy of praise. Lord, we pray today that your hand would be upon our church family. Each and every one of us have our own special needs, our own personal needs, needs within our bodies, needs within our family, needs all around us, and we look to you. We turn our eyes toward you, Lord. We ask for your help. We ask for your guidance, and we ask, Lord, for you to give us your hand of victory in our lives. Dear Lord, we pray today that this coronavirus will soon be wiped out and that our lives can get back to the normal that before the coronavirus was actually quite a blessing, maybe a blessing that many of us took for granted. And now I realize what a wonderful God we have and what amazing undeserved grace we receive every day of our lives when we live without having to take added precautions and do things just to stay alive. I pray that the coronavirus will significantly subside in areas that have been hit the hardest, especially in the areas like New York City and New Orleans, where dozens of people are dying every day. In the state of Florida and California, we understand there are hundreds of cases of this coronavirus every day, new cases. And even here in Pennsylvania, the numbers have been extremely high. We pray, Lord, that this will subside, that we'll see this reach its peak and start descending in severity. And Lord, we pray also not only for the areas in the United States, but also for the countries that have been hit hardest by the coronavirus. We've heard that France is a very bad situation there, being what's called the epicenter of the world for the coronavirus. In Italy, there have been hundreds and hundreds of deaths there. And in Australia, it's a widespread disease. We pray for victory over this. And we pray, Lord, for our missionaries worldwide. The coronavirus is everywhere. I've heard from our missionaries, Father, in Africa, in Australia, Japan, Slovakia, in Romania, Hong Kong, in Spain. They're all dealing with the presence of the coronavirus. I pray that you'd keep our missionary family safe and help them and protect them and help them to minister to the folks and do their work as missionaries even in the midst of this time of crisis. I pray for our hospitals and medical professionals. Lord, they need rest and strength, physical and emotional strength. They need supplies. The governor of New York is pleading desperately for respirators. They need thousands of respirators. They need masks, medicine, hospital beds, more volunteers and workers, more doctors and nurses, They need donations of blood. Lord, you know our need before we even ask. And this is a serious situation, and we pray, Father, that somehow, by your hand of grace and mercy, people would be equipped to have the resources to meet the needs of those that are sick and dying. We pray, Father, for those who have been laid off from their jobs. Maybe if they lost their jobs permanently. We pray for those who are waiting for unemployment benefits, those who are struggling to pay their bills. We ask, Lord, for your hand of provision. We pray, Father, that we might trust in you and look to you and depend upon you. We pray that you would meet those needs according to your riches and glory. We pray especially for those who have lost loved ones to the coronavirus, or even just lost loved ones in other ways, through natural causes. This is a hard time to deal with that, Lord. People can't even get together to grieve as we do usually. And so we pray that we will not lose our compassion and empathy from hearing so much about the deaths of the coronavirus on the news, that we become insensitive when we hear it over and over again, but that it does tug at our hearts, and we do reach out in sympathy and prayer for these folks who have lost loved ones. And we pray for those who are sick right now, and those who are suffering. Maybe there's folks that we know in our distant family or distant friends that are touched by this coronavirus disease, that we would pray for them, that they would be healed. And Lord, of those who are struggling with other sicknesses, we know there are many folks in our church that are struggling with all kinds of chronic illness, heart disease, cancer, diabetes. There's so many things, rheumatoid arthritis and other kinds of arthritis. There's so many things that our folks are struggling with, Lord, and we know that you are the great physician and you are the great shepherd. We ask that you would take care of the needs of your children. We pray, Father, for ease and comfort, those who are going through pain and suffering, those who are having hardships, those who are experiencing heartache of any kind. May this be a time, Lord, of restoration of families that have gone through brokenness. May people come together. May it bring comfort to those who are lonely, knowing that Jesus is right there with them, knowing that no matter what we may be facing, we have a friend in Jesus. May this be a time of finding peace to those who have no peace. We pray, Lord, that they will learn about the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving grace and His ability to lift us from the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock to stay. And then, Lord, we pray that we can get back to our churches soon, back to being able to sing together, to be able to worship together, to have that sweet fellowship that we enjoy again under the roof that we call church. Lord, we pray you would be glorified in answering prayer, hearing our prayers, Lord. We just pray for our country, that you would be glorified through drawing our country to a place of spiritual awakening and renewal. We've heard our leaders of our country call upon our country to pray over this situation. We pray that that will be something that will remind them that you are God, and that, Lord, maybe this coronavirus crisis would be something to show America and to show the world again that you indeed truly are God. We pray your hand would be upon those who are working and serving our country. We pray for the first responders, Lord, that your hand of blessing would be upon them, their needs, and keep them safe. Father, we pray that you would be glorified, and that your blessings would be evident, and we would not forget to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for all that you're doing. We ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. I've changed the title of the message today. Originally, I gave it the title, Guard Your Thoughts. But after thinking about it and considering the way the Lord has laid the subject on my mind this week, I think it's more appropriate to use the title, Guide Your Thoughts. Guide Your Thoughts. You know, we can guide our thoughts if we choose to. Like a set of railroad tracks guide a train in the direction that it's going. The Holy Spirit of God, using the Word of God, that's like two tracks side by side in my mind, keeping us going in the right direction, keeping us safely headed the way we should if we choose to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, to direct our paths, and to listen to the Word of God, to read it, study it, meditate on it, memorize it, hide it in our heart that we might not sin against God, we can stay on track. We can guide our thoughts in the right direction. In times like these, it's easy to become what I call a news junkie. We become glued to the TV or the radio or the internet, trying to get more and more information, more and more details about what's going on, trying to get answers to our unending questions, like where's all this headed? Where's it leading? What will be the outcome? Will the coronavirus hit close to home? Is it getting worse, or are they getting it under control? What are the latest statistics? What does the president and our leaders have to say? What do the medical professionals have to say about what's going on today? And we become absorbed with all of this information that we're gathering. A lot of it is negative. We become overtaken by negativity. All the bad things that are taking place, all the tragedy. And without realizing it, we start to become depressed. Depression is one of Satan's favorite tools. Remember, we've talked about that before. If he can get us depressed, he can get our thoughts and our minds, our attention, drawn away from the Lord. And that's exactly what he wants to do. We start to allow anxiety to creep in, even when we know in our heart that God is in control and he is bigger than the coronavirus or any other tragedy that we encounter. Even though we know God's Word says, be anxious for nothing, we begin to allow the spirit of fatalism and the spirit of vanity and the spirit of helplessness to take control of our attitudes. We don't need to allow this to happen. We can guide our thoughts. Paul tells us very plainly how to do that in today's scripture reading. Rejoice, he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Those are some powerful words. Those are encouraging words. They're exciting words. That's some good advice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he goes on to say, and whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. We can will our minds to stay on track. With the Holy Spirit's help, we can choose to limit the amount of negative information that we focus on. We can control what we do with all the information we're receiving. We can allow it to discourage us and put fear in us, or we can use it to pray for the thousands of people who are suffering. By God's grace, we can choose, as we talked about last week, to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Do you remember the promise attached to that activity? If we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, if we sit down and quiet our hearts, be still, know that He is God, the promise is what? We shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It would be good if you are troubled over all the news we're hearing to just go back and reread Psalm 91 again and again and again. I'll be honest with you, I've reread it probably a dozen times or so this week, and many of those times I've had to just stop and weep tears of joy when I think about God's amazing grace. And over again, the Holy Spirit says to me, see, you can direct your thoughts. You can keep your mind on track. I'll never forget an incident that took place when I was a young boy, probably about 9 years old. Our family heard the news of a bad train derailment that took place just south of Hancock, Maryland. The B&O, Baltimore and Ohio rail system, was very familiar to us as we lived just outside of Cumberland, Maryland. Our little farm was right on the Potomac River, just across the river from Cumberland. We could look across the river and see Cumberland, Maryland. Cumberland was a big hub for the B&O Railroad. Every time we went to town, as we called it, we saw lots and lots of railroad tracks and many trains. Everywhere you went, there were train tracks going in all directions, and trains, many of them. I would like to have a nickel for every minute we've sat waiting at a railroad crossing, being stopped by those huge red flashing lights, that piercing ding, 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 ding warning signal, and the wooden crossbar that seemed to come down magically as the train approached the intersection. Many times as kids, we would make it a pastime of counting the rail cars, nearly becoming hypnotized as they passed by slowly, one by one, in front of your eyes. It was hard to not lose track of how many you had counted. And as a boy, I was really enthused and at awe at such a sight as several giant locomotives were hooked together to pull a train of dozens and dozens and dozens of railroad cars, heavily loaded, many of them with coal. We were in coal country. And some of them had all kinds of mysterious freight in those big box cars. And then there were cars that were being used to haul automobiles. They were all headed to destinations that only our imaginations could picture. My dad worked as a carpenter. He made his living as a carpenter. And at that time, he and his crew were building the forms that were used to pour the tons and tons of concrete that went into building those big support structures of all those overpass bridges that cross over the highway as you travel Interstate 70 and 68 from Hagerstown to Cumberland, Maryland, and beyond. From Interstate 70, you had a clear view of the railroad in many places as it ran parallel to the highway through western Maryland. Oftentimes there were trains moving along, sometimes in the same direction you were traveling. We went to visit my aunt in Hagerstown probably twice a month on the average. And a lot of times there would be a train right alongside of us as we went down Interstate 70. It was fun to see if the train was moving faster than we were or slower than we were. Are we passing it or is it leaving us behind? After hearing of the train derailment, my dad decided to take our family on a Saturday morning outing and go have a look at the tragedy. I had never seen anything like it. If I remember correctly, there were 26 rail cars that had left the tracks. That's not a big derailment in comparison to many of those we've heard about since. But remember, this was the first time in my life I had seen or even heard of anything like it. A train had actually left the tracks? How did that even happen? It was hard to imagine. And yet, as I thought of the toy model electric train outfit that we laid out on the ping pong table in our basement every year at Christmas, I had watched that train leave the tracks many, many times. If the track came apart ever so slightly at any of the connections, or if you turned up the throttle or the controller to make it go too fast on a curve, a crash was inevitable. So yes, it could happen to a real train, I thought. Dad knew of a place where we could park the car near Hancock and get out and walk alongside the path of the derailment. We went for quite some distance. Railroad cars laid on their sides in all directions. Many of them mangled up so badly that they didn't even look like rail cars. It was obvious that several of them had been on fire. Many had been carrying coal, which spilled tons and tons of that black rock all over the tracks. Some of the boxcars were ripped open. Their cargo was scattered all over the place on both sides of the wreckage. Some rail cars had become detached and from the big heavy wheels, the huge wheels, which came to rest here and there, just all over the place. Other boxcars had rolled over the bank and were partially lying in the Potomac River. In many places, the rails on which the train had been traveling were ripped from the heavy crossties and mangled up like pieces of aluminum foil. It was unbelievable. It was an unforgettable sight. And I still remember thinking, as we walked alongside that wreckage, what in the world happened? How did this gigantic, enormous, heavy train leave the tracks? It seemed impossible, so unreal, so unbelievable. Had the track come apart somewhere? What caused the train to leave the tracks? In the years that have passed since then, I've heard of many, many train derailments all over the world. Some much more devastating and destructive, even fatal. Probably because of this personal experience as a boy, my ears still perk up today when I hear of a train wreck on the news. How important it is for these mammoth machines to stay on track. But you know what? It's also absolutely essential that you and I, the believers, keep our thoughts on track as well. As the Apostle Paul advises, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know something, as I look at that verse and think about those things that we're to think about, that we're to place our thoughts upon, I don't find the coronavirus fitting anywhere in that verse. Whatsoever things are true, we could say whatsoever things are godly. True and godly go together. God is truth. Jesus is the truth. John 14:6, you remember Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And then he said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Whatsoever things are true, think about those things. Paul exhorts us in Ephesians 6:14 to stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth is one of our spiritual weapons. We're to have it in mind. We're to think about it. We're to will our thoughts to stay on truth. And then he says, whatsoever things are honest. The Bible dictionary says that the word honest means venerable, Venerable, V-E-N-E-R-A-B-L-E. To be honest, pun intended, I had to look that word up. The things that are venerable are those things that have been around for such a long time that they command respect. Those things that have been around a while, they've been shown to be trustworthy. They demand respect. I thought of the Japanese people. They have a lot of respect for aged persons because aged people have been around a long time, and in that time they have gained a lot of wisdom. And so they become well respected. They are possessed with an impressive dignity. We owe them reverence, and we know that we can trust them because of their noble character. That's what it means by being honest. Being honest, we should think about things that are worthy of our respect, things that have been proven trustworthy over time. In the book of Acts in chapter 6, when the early church was ready to appoint its first deacons, the apostles said, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom." We're to think about things that are honest. We're also to think about whatsoever things are just. Think on these things. Just means to be holy or to be righteous. To be holy or righteous in character and in action. Who we are and what we do. Sometimes we talk about justification. When we studied the book of Romans, we said to be justified meant to be just as Jesus is just. Get the picture? Think about things Jesus would think about. What would Jesus do? Isaiah 26:7 tells us that the way of the just is uprightness. Are your thoughts upright today? Are they on track? And then, whatsoever things are pure. We hardly have to define the word pure, do we? We hear a lot of talk these days about pure drinking water. That's a precious commodity in many parts of the world. Some places it's almost impossible to get. We want our drinking water to be pure, don't we? How often our hearts condemn us because our thoughts are not pure. That's where temptation begins, in our minds, in our thoughts. And that's why Paul exhorts us in Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That word renewing can be translated being made pure. Paul also exhorted Timothy, saying, "But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." In purity, be pure. Think about things that are pure. And then whatsoever things are lovely. A rose is lovely. A big piece of coconut cream pie, now that's lovely. How about a visit or a phone call from a great friend? That's lovely. Let's hold up there for just a second. Think about that. A visit from a great friend. Lovely. Did you know the Bible definition of lovely is just that? Friendly. Lovely means friendly. Things that you enjoy being around, things that you really enjoy thinking about in a godly, righteous way. Now, the coronavirus, that's not lovely. It's not friendly. I certainly don't want it to come and visit me. I don't want it to come and visit any one of you. It is not lovely. Let's guide our thoughts away from it. In the Song of Solomon, the bride says, "He is altogether lovely." That's describing the bridegroom. That, my friend, is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is altogether lovely. Let's think on Him. And next, whatsoever things are of good report. We've all heard a lot of news about the coronavirus, but none of it is a good report. The phrase of good report, according to the Bible dictionary, means things that are well spoken of. The only thing that will be well spoken of is when we can say that thing is gone, defeated, over. We can think and pray over that. People of faith are people who can live our lives with a good report. In Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, the Bible says, "For by it," that is, by faith, "the elders obtained a good report." They did things that were well spoken of. By faith, let's guide our thoughts to stay on track. Whatsoever things that are of any virtue. Virtue. That's things that have qualities of excellence. An event that immediately came to my mind was the night that my wife and I had the privilege of attending a symphony at the Boston Philharmonic Orchestra. Something that I had dreamed about for years. Never thought I would get to do it, but one time in our life we just absolutely enjoyed that because we were on a vacation to the northeastern states and stopped in Boston for a couple of days, and it was a most excellent presentation. It was virtuous, things that have qualities of excellence. It was most excellent. In the Bible, the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, she's a woman who performs her duties with excellence. In the book of Ruth, Boaz said to Ruth, "Thou art a virtuous woman. You're a woman of excellence." In his second epistle, Peter reminds believers that God has called us to glory and virtue. He has given us everything necessary to live that life of excellence. Let's think about those things. And finally, let's stay on track by guiding our minds toward things that are worthy of praise. Things that are worthy of praise. If I say to you, the coronavirus is, that issue is on my mind 24 hours a day, can you say, praise the Lord? No, of course not. But if I say, you know, the coronavirus is a very bad situation, but God is in control. Let's praise the Lord. Let's glorify Him. Let's seek His face. Can you say, praise the Lord? I think you get the picture. I think that's what Paul was saying in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. He was saying, let's just praise the Lord. Bill Gaither wrote that little gospel song. The chorus goes simply like this. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. That's advice that is worthy of praise. In closing today, in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 4, Paul gives us a wonderful promise. If we give our thoughts and our cares to the Lord, if we take everything to God in prayer, if we stay on track by casting all our care on Him, then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I received a letter this week from a dear friend and missionary, Dr. Bill Bowen. In his opening statement, he said this, "In these days of many challenges, may we continue to practice the presence of Christ. For as Paul says in Ephesians 2:14, He is our peace." May we practice the presence of Christ. That's sort of the same as saying, may we keep our thoughts, may we guide our thoughts on track. Dear listener, do you have that peace, that perfect peace? The peace that is beyond our ability to understand it? Do you know Jesus? He's the Prince of Peace. If you don't know Jesus, I encourage you to put your trust in Him today, to get to know Him, to ask Him to reveal Himself to you. Ask Him for forgiveness. We're all sinners. We all need cleansing from our sin. Jesus said it. He will forgive us of our sins if we confess our sins. Believe in your heart that He is the Savior whom God has raised from the dead. Jesus died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. He took your place so that you could be set free from paying for your own sin debt. Jesus paid that sin debt for you. God loves you, and He wants nothing more than to save you and make you His child. What better offer could we possibly find in these troubled times than a God who loves you and promises to take care of all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? We each need to open our heart to the Lord and pray, God, forgive me. Ask Him to save you today. If you do that with a sincere heart, He'll give you the gift of eternal life starting right now, starting today. God loves you so much that He wants to spend eternity with you. And believer, dear friends in Christ, if you found yourself overwhelmed with the chaos of a world that is reeling to and fro like a drunkard, a world that is experiencing the birth pangs of a new era, a new dispensation, a great tribulation, which will usher in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. If your mind is crowded with negative thoughts, discouraging thoughts, anxious thoughts, turn your eyes upon Jesus, my friend. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You can guide your thoughts. Just as if they were on a railroad track. You can guide your thoughts when you obey the Scriptures and think on these things. Listen to these words of Paul in Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Our missionary in Slovakia recently wrote, saying, let us see this as an opportunity and not an obstacle. When life gives you lemons, just do lemonade, he said, to those whom the circumstances have given more time, I encourage you to invest this extra time in your spiritual life and in your family. That's good advice. If the coronavirus has kept you home, away from your normal activities, and given you more time, instead of sitting in front of the television and just watching the news say the same thing over and over again, why don't we open our Bibles and turn off the TV and spend time with the Lord and time with our family? Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity to come before you at this time and ask for your help and strength to deliver a message that would be hopefully encouraging to our church family and something that would be spiritual food for their growth and nourishment. I pray, Lord, for each and every one. I know that we're all unique, we're all different, and every one of us has something in our lives that we are depending upon you for, something that we are trusting you to take care of, some need that we have to place at the foot of Jesus all the time. We pray, dear God, that you will lift us up, that you would glorify yourself through what you're doing in our lives, that you would show yourself powerful unto us so that we can testify of the goodness of God, and that you might show your amazing grace to us over and over again so we don't forget, and that the things that you're doing, not only for us but in the world today, would be things that would show the world that you indeed are God. He is, and he is the one who is able to save. I pray that you would be glorified through delivering from eternal death many who put their trust in you, even as a result of this terrible coronavirus. Lord, we thank you for your powerful word today. We thank you, Lord, for the way it encourages our hearts to place our trust in you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we close this time together, I'd like to mention just two things very quickly. First of all, it's not looking very promising that the social ban on public gatherings will be lifted by April the 1st as we had originally hoped, or even by Easter for that matter. We're still praying that that might happen, but it would take a miracle, and we can pray for that. But be assured, we will. Some people have called and asked about Easter. What are we going to do about Easter? Be assured, we will be celebrating Easter together, whenever. It may not be according to the calendar Easter, but when we do get back together, and we will soon, I believe, when we do meet again, we will celebrate Easter. And as Sean Coffey said, during these times of uncertainty, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Which brings me to my second point. Sean Coffey has put an incredible, encouraging message on YouTube. It's titled, Hope in a Culture of Fear. I can send you the link if you have email. And I'm going to see if we can put that link on our webpage so that you can just go to waynesborobible.org and click on it. But it is a great message. It's a powerful message, and it's just a God-given message for what we're going through in today's world. God bless you until we meet again, and keep praying one for another. James 5:16. Amen.